Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to FST Tuesday Edition. Mike Glute and Dave Martinez, thanks for joining us. We don't normally start off with a college football news item, but this one is as big as it gets. Urban Meyer stepping down as Ohio State head coach. Ryan Day takes over effective January 2nd, it says. So he'll coach out the bowl game. I think they got the Fiesta Bowl, right, Dane?
I think they're in the Rose Bowl.
Sorry. Yeah, I know the Fiesta Bowl and the Rose Bowl have, like, two matchups that are sort of lopsided.
I think in the Rose Bowl, I think they got Washington, maybe?
Yeah.
Might they have Washington
Ohio State,
in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, it's Ohio State, Washington.
And like, then, traditional kind of Rose Bowl, Pac-12, Big Ten?
And then the Fiesta Bowl. No, the Georgia is playing Michigan, I think? Something
Georgia
like that.
Georgia plays Texas, I believe.
That's it. So
that's a lopsided one, yeah.
Realistically, people wanted... Now, the Rose Bowl obviously has historical tie-ins between
Big Ten
and Pac-12, yeah. But an Ohio State-Georgia matchup, I think, is what people really wanted because now the Buckeyes will be pretty heavily favored against the Huskies and the Bulldogs fairly favored
Georgia,
against
yeah.
Longhorns. So if we could have gotten a Georgia-Ohio State situation there, I think people would have liked it. I kept saying Fiesta Bowl, but I think UCF is actually in that Fiesta Bowl.
I'm very excited to see UCF versus LSU. I hope they do it again.
That would be interesting if they did it again.
They need to win. I want them to. Their quarterback is out, though, but yeah. I digress.
Did you see his injury? He's not just out.
I did.
Yeah. Like,
it was no good.
It was days
it was
after
no
the
good.
Alex Smith situation, and
yeah.
it was
yeah.
like a competition to see whose leg injury was worse. So, in any
listen,
event,
I'm going to start to be in these pools with the confidence picks of 1 through 35, but maybe there is a competition of who could break their leg the worst going on right now, and Colt McCoy decided to throw his hat in the ring as well.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. We'll get to that in a second. Just want to let everybody know, in case you're listening here, that is big news. Ryan Day is actually going to take over. I have a lot of familiarity with Ryan Day, Dane, because he was the offensive coordinator at Boston College. And
there
prior to that, he was a receivers coach. He came up through the Chip Kelly coaching tree, played football in New Hampshire, played under Chip Kelly, I think as a GA. I'd have to look at the exact time frame. But he was at BC on two separate stints. He went from BC to the Philadelphia Eagles and then back to BC. So I know him pretty well. I do think that, in fact, I can tell you, in BC circles, before Steve Adazio was hired, there was some thought to, why don't we give the job to this younger guy who's on the rise? He had not obviously been a head coach. I don't even know if he had, at that point, coordinator experience. But the thought process was, this guy is going to be a head coach someday. Yeah, he's in his early 30s, but why don't we catch somebody on the rise as opposed to going for somebody different? In retrospect, it looks like a pretty freaking good decision would have been made back then because he's going to be the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes starting January 2nd. So Urban Meyer stepping down, says he's retiring. I'm just going to say he's stepping down, but based on his health issues that he has claimed to have had, it may be time for him to step away. He was pretty good on TV. He wasn't a world beater, but I think he's got an opportunity there if he wants it from ESPN or Fox.
Oh, yeah, he might go on another two-year ESPN sabbatical.
And I'll say this, and we'll get back to the NFL in a second. I remember listening to, this is a while back, and I think this is like towards the end of his Florida tenure when he ended up stepping down. He's from Ohio. Obviously, he was going to take that Ohio State job when it came available. But there was an ESPN podcast. It might have been Ivan Maisel that was running. He does an excellent college football podcast that I used to listen to on a regular basis. So he said that there was a time when he was at a press conference and one of the reporters asked Urban Meyer if he saw himself coaching into his latter years, like at the time Joe Paterno was doing and other agent coaches, Bobby Bowden. And he said that Urban Meyer gave the room a look as if they were absolutely insane that he would do that. I think he knew he was working himself to death effectively and that he wasn't going to be able to do it.
Maintain it.
So I kind of respect that. I think Bob Stoops saw that in some way, and that's why he stepped away. And, you know, we haven't heard from Bob Stoops. If he ever got back into coaching Bob Stoops, I don't think it would be at a high level. And I think the same with Urban Meyer. But Urban doesn't have the luxury of us giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think after what he created at Ohio State and somehow kept his job,
right,
he's lucky to walk away like this, and people will probably, unfortunately, some people will probably applaud him.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's time. You know, I think it's time for the health concerns. You know, there was obviously the controversy at the beginning of the season. That's why Day was kind of the interim coach there for the first three seasons anyway. And, you know, it's a different situation. But my knee-jerk reaction is similar to, like, Rob Gronkowski blew it. And I say it because, like, what's really the upside anymore to put yourself through this, like, the stress, which has obviously hurt, you know, for Gronk, it was, like, the physical, you know, debilitation. But for Urban Meyer, there's, you know, and I'm putting the kind of controversy aside, okay, which I do not agree with him. I think he should have been kind of further disciplined. I'll leave it at that. But why put yourself through the stress of, you know, living in your office, basically, as this 25-8 kind of job that coaching is? His legacy is pretty much already written in the coaching world. So, yeah, I think it's time.
That's right. He's won multiple national titles, yeah. So I don't really know what else he's going to do. He's going to try and chase down Nick Saban. I think
right.
Nick, you know, Nick is a different kind of guy. He and Belichick are cut from the same cloth, and I think those guys are different, and they'd be happy to
die in their office.
That's right. Expire on the sidelines. Yeah. So
that's right.
And I get it. Look, when I was a younger person, I sort of, like, my dad coached me in youth baseball, right? And I could see myself conceivably being a coach one day. I thought I wanted to do that. And I never really considered, like, I would see coaches, you know, even going back and watching Krzyzewski and other guys, and I thought that would be a cool profession to get into.
Sure.
Now, it didn't go that way, but I can't imagine. And to be honest, I'm thrilled that it didn't go that way. But I can't imagine being a coach. Like, it seems to me, like, I know some of these guys, and you really just have to love it with all your heart. Because it seems like, collectively, they're a pretty miserable group of people. They focus more on the losses than they ever do on the wins. And I can appreciate some of them getting into it for the love of it, and the high school coaches and all that kind of stuff. I have buddies that are high school football coaches and all that kind of stuff. But as a lot, they really like to wallow in the misery of the losses on each other and how hard it is. And it is. It looks like it's sort of miserable.
And it's also – it's a commitment for the entire family, much like being a military family on some level, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those kids, those partners are also going through it, missing mommy or daddy for a long time. So, listen, I completely get it. I mean, you know – I don't have many positive things to say about Hugh Jackson, Blewett, but did you see any of Hard Knocks? There was, like, one episode where, in essence, you know, Hugh Jackson's mom passed away.
And his sister.
And his sister, like, in the same, like, 3-week span or whatever it was. Yeah. And you see Hugh Jackson, in essence, like, toiling away, you know, like it was like some meeting with the GM and other coaches, and the other coaches didn't even know, and Jackson wanted no part of it. Why? Because he had to get ready for that second preseason game. You know what I mean? It's a thankless role, you know, and you're only in the paper for bad things, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think when it's time, it's time.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of guys out there that are making a lot of money, and but there are plenty more that aren't doing it for the cash. You know, they're just, they love it. So, In any event, that's the big news story of the day. Urban Meyer will step down. Ryan Day takes over. I do think he has a lot of ability. I think he's a pretty smart guy. And I'm bummed that BC never took a swing at him to be a head coach, to be honest.
You think it affects the Buckeyes in their bowl game at all? You know, because in with these spreads on bowl games, I'm in a lot of pools, Blewett, that are like with the confidence picks of all that. You got to rank them 1 through 35 and stuff. And sometimes the biggest analysis I look for is, like, who has something to play for? There's a lot of teams when bowl games, you know, teams are trying and others where they're not. And sometimes coaches are gone and stuff like that. So read the tea leaves for me. Does this make Ohio State play more inspired for new head coach Jim Day? They're probably going to be favorites anyway.
Not Jim Day, Ryan Day. It's Jim Day.
Excuse me, my bad.
Talks fantasy football with us, Ryan Day.
That's right. I was on with him on Sunday night.
So,
but
I think I wouldn't want to be Washington.
Interesting.
That's what I think. So it's 5.5 right now. It's in that weird zone, but I think it.
Ooh, I should take it before it gets over 7.
I would. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe I can use my Boston College over bet.
I don't think they. Yeah, that's right. I don't think they have the ability to stick with the Buckeyes. But
to hang with them.
I'll say in general, it is very difficult to predict what this can do. I think this could inspire them for one more win for Urban and all that kind of stuff going forward. So, and I like Georgia. Oh man, I wish it wasn't 10.5. I wish I would come down a little bit, but it could push.
We'll
up
talk
higher.
About that, you know, maybe one day on the show.
Yeah, we got some time. But anyway, let's talk about last night. Cole McCoy did break his leg. You probably heard that during the update. So bummer for him. They're now down to third stringer, which is none other than Dane, your guy.
The Sanchez.
Sanchez is back. It's good to have Sanchez
Washington
back in my life.
Offensive lineman, watch your hind parts.
He hasn't missed a beat. He threw another pick last night. So Sanchez goes 13 of 21 with the interception. Washington really didn't get anything done in the second half. Not much really at all outside of Adrian Peterson's 90-yard touchdown run, which helped me win a matchup last night. I fell short of the Greenwich Street Tavern League scoring title by 9 points. But Adrian Peterson,
who'd you lose out to?
Scott Engel. So I had the points title lead for, I think, 12 weeks, and I lost it in week 13. So kind of a bummer, but my team has fallen apart there. I lost 3 starting wide receivers, and I don't think I'm going to be much competition there the rest of the way.
You're the 3 seed, huh?
I don't know. I haven't looked yet.
It looks like you're the 3 seed, and what I don't know is if I'm the 5 or the 6 seed just yet.
Well, they did divisions. I didn't win the division, right. So I would imagine that, yeah, I'd probably be
I think you're the highest point total out of the non-division winners, right? So that would give you the 6 seed. I mean, excuse me, the 3 seed.
Probably.
Then there's one team that was 9-4. That's definitively the 4 seed. And then there are 3 7-6 teams. I am one of them. Of those 3 teams, I'm the one with the highest points, so that would lead me to think I'm the 5 seed, but because of the divisions and stuff like that, I'm not sure. To be quite honest, Mike, I'm angling to be able to play you because you've been talking about how your wide receivers are not the best anymore.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I'm hopeful that I'm the beneficiary of this playoff matchup.
I basically had a 4 wide receiver rotation. That was Adam Thielen, still around, and then AJ Green, Cooper Kupp, and Marvin Jones. So 3 guys that are on IR. So I'm backfilling right now. I think I'm playing. I mean, now that A.J. Green is out, I can tell you, let me go to that team. I think I'm going to be playing Seth Roberts in a starting role this week. And the other one, I've had Cordarrelle Patterson in there. Tyrell Williams was the other guy, but then he's been banged up too. So it's just, you know, it's just dumb luck. I mean, I can't do much about that. Oh, Josh Reynolds. I spent $1 million on Josh Reynolds to get him. So conceivably in a playoff matchup, I'd go Thielen, Josh Reynolds,
and Seth Roberts,
or Tyrell Williams or Cordarrelle Patterson. It's one of those guys.
We'll see if the brackets come out today, and if we're facing each other in the
playoffs. So back to the game last night, McCoy got hurt pretty early. He was 4 of 4 for 50 yards before breaking his leg. They've lost. I mean, they are the most injured team this year. They get the title. Yeah. They lost 2 starting quarterbacks. They lost multiple offensive linemen. They lost other guys along the way, so it's just devastated their season. They're 6-6 despite all of that. People were doubting the Reds, Washington mm-hmm. Throughout many points of the season, but really the injuries are going to end their season. So Philly moves into second place there, I guess. They're 6-6, tied with Washington right now. Dallas alone in first place. Adrian Peterson, hooked you guys up last night, 9 for 98 yards and a touchdown. I know he didn't do anything outside of the 90-yard run, but don't complain. He got a 90-yard touchdown. Josh Doctson, 3 for 51. Jordan Reed, 4 for 21. On the flip side of things, Golden Tate has a nice game, 7 for 85 and a touchdown. Zach Ertz, 9 for 83, 9 on the 10 targets. Aguilar, 4 for 56. And then Josh Adams, really seeing the lion's share of the carries there, 20 carries for 85 yards. Not flashy, but got the job done last night. Corey Clement came in. I actually used Corey Clement in a DraftKings lineup, and he helped me a little bit. He had 8 touches for a total of 74 yards. Pretty good, actually. If I had played, one of the debates I had was playing Jordan Reed or Golden Tate. I played Jordan Reed. If I had played Golden Tate, I actually would have won some pretty serious money last night in DraftKings. Instead, I won $15, so I'll take it. But
hey, can't go broke making a profit.
That's right. So no complaints for me. But star of the show last night, clearly, Carson Wentz. 27 of 39, 306, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. I got to be honest, I didn't think he played great. I thought he missed some throws, and I thought, look, they grinded out a win last night. Elliott with a couple of field goals at a 2-point conversion. They scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. I didn't think in watching the game that he played all that great. Did you?
I don't think he played all that great, to your point, but he did make a couple of plays in crucial times that were the difference, like that the touchdown throw to Golden Tate.
Yep.
You know, he did great work in the pocket to basically do a lot of what Wentz was doing last year, keeping plays alive, and that's the new breed of quarterback. You know, we celebrate Patty Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys who could extend plays, right? And Carson Wentz is one of those guys, and he did that on the touchdown to Golden Tate. And I think what happened, honestly, is, you know, after the Sanchez came on in, he turns and hands the ball off to Adrian Peterson. And at that point, you know, when it's 14-7 at halftime, I think everybody knew the way the rest of the game was going to go down, that Washington wasn't going to be able to do much and that Philly would eventually be able to pull away. They did that with the touchdown pass to Matthews and then the field goals. So, no, kind of a ho-hum effort, I would say. But, you know, did what they had to do. And I believe now the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Vikings are 3 teams competing for 2 playoff spots in the NFC.
I think that's fair to say. We'll take a look at the playoff picture after the break on both sides, because I don't know if we're getting more clarity or less. I feel like the Chargers are the best team in the AFC, and they're a 5 seed right now. So we didn't get a chance to talk about that debacle. Steelers were 220-0-2 at home when leading by 14 points. They're now 220.
Yeah, cover a punt.
They're now 221-2. So good times. I fell asleep.
Cover a punt.
I fell asleep on Sunday night, Dane, missed the first half. Woke up, went downstairs, watched the second half.
Oh, a guy like you should have seen the first half.
Exactly.
You would have much rather
gone to bed at
halftime.
No kidding. What a debacle I watched. The defense stinks again. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk playoff picture. We'll talk about what you need for Week 13. More guys out, AJ Green on IR. What are you going to do about that? Stain and Mike, FST. We'll be right back.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at IPL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Back on FST, Mike and Dane. Just thinking about all the things I lost from this week. What a bummer. Really just a huge bummer. So DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. It means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners, and millions more in cumulative prizes. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong and you're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. So, Dane, A.J. Green is out. Why
Imagine.
did he play in the first place this week?
I think we were talking about that, right?
I have no idea. The second he got hurt, I didn't really expect him to come back. I kept him on the one team. I put him out there because he was playing, because that's what you got to do. And clearly, I don't really know what the Bengals are thinking there.
We told people.
We've been saying it for weeks that I don't really understand why he'd be coming back, but now it's official. So he's out. You're going to have to go scan your waiver wires. I mean, you took an early look at the waiver wires, right?
I did. Here are the names for you. I don't know if you love them at all, but here's my thoughts on waiver wire guys. There's Curtis Samuel, who's 18% owned, getting a lot of opportunity for Carolina maybe. Cortland Sutton is owned in 49% of the leagues. He hasn't really grabbed the brass ring, but maybe he did get a touchdown. He did get a touchdown. And listen, Hyerman on IR, maybe even create some more targets for him.
And Scott There's said that Jeff Hyerman's been on IR for weeks. He hasn't been. He's been on IR for a week. He played last
That's what I'm saying.
He played in week 12.
Like this was a new, right? What we saw out of Sutton last week was the first time we saw him without Demaryius Thomas and Jeff Hyerman.
Yeah.
So maybe there are more opportunities for Sutton. He's 49% owned. Then there's some Tampa Bay Buccaneers wideouts, maybe. They're hovering around 50%, both Adam Humphries and Chris Godwin. Humphries might be more the chain mover PPR guy. Godwin may be more the touchdown maker of the crew. And then if you really want to take the bottom of the barrel, Dante Pettis is probably available. The guy has at least gotten 14 targets in the last two games for the 49ers, but you'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel there. I would lean towards Samuel or Sutton.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking at right now. Slim pickings, but so it happens.
And generally speaking, there's not going to be a guy who like announces themselves as the next man up in this time of the season, unless there's a huge injury kind of thing. You know, like we saw with, say, Austin Eckler or Jackson stepping in for Gordon, stuff like that, right? Like, generally speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, Blewett, the guy that you have as your like RB3 or wideout 4 on your bench is probably a better option to plug and play than the guy who becomes next man up, you know, for a team out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, just looking at other guys, we saw Justin Jackson get some work the other day. We don't know what the Melvin Gordon thing is going to look like. I'm just, you know, just trying to angle for people for, you know, for the playoffs. It's not pretty out there right now on the waiver wire, but it never is. Christian Kirk obviously went down for some people that were rotating him in and out of their flex. That's another guy that you have to take.
Here's one thing people do need to note, and I'll ask you about James Conner and the high ankle sprain potential and what that means.
Neither do I.
But the point that I want to make that people need to know, and we'll talk about how you use this information maybe down the road, but don't forget, Jalen Samuels is tight end eligible in some formats.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say James Conner is something on a snap count maybe, or limited, you know, something like that. There's a universe, and I was just talking about this with Scott, Mike. There's a universe where you could do something like start, I don't know, Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Mixon at running back. You could start like Nick Chubb at flex, and you could start Jalen Samuels as tight end. Would you get cute like that if you thought it was going to be like a normal timeshare?
It's hard to do that now, only because
the Steelers
have never really done that before.
Right.
But
what if it's the Connor injury? What if he's like on a snap count?
I've never seen them do that in the last few years. But I think you raise a good point. There is a, as you like to say, a non-zero chance.
It's a non-zero chance. That's right.
Connor will be on a snap count.
Right. Or splitting time in some
way. You don't know how they're going to be managing him the rest of the way. I mean, the Steelers, since we were talking about playoff picture, we'll go into them first because they lost their first game ever at home where they were leading by 14-plus points to the Chargers. They're coming off a two-game losing streak, a little bit of a soft landing. They have to go to the West Coast, but it's against a 2-10 Raiders team.
But it's Oakland. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they have the Patriots in Pittsburgh.
So what if they rest Connor this week?
They could.
What if they rest Connor this week to save him for the Patriots game?
They could. That's why you got to pick up Samuels, to your point.
Would you start him at tight end, though? Let's say you just lost Greg Olsen, right? And it's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, people are talking about like Chris Herndon and names like this. You start Jalen Samuels as a starting running back or Chris Herndon?
And he gets five carries. Yeah, I'd say it's worth it. Right? That's not even that cute. Honestly, you're saying let's get cute with it? Like, that's actually a pretty savvy play if you did something like that. In fact,
that's
could take a look at let me go to his game logs just because I want to give everybody a sense of what we're looking at.
We're expecting the game log to be different, right? Because I'm saying this as it relates to the Connor injury.
I'm saying
even
if it's not. What did he look like this year? All right. It ain't pretty.
Right. I'm saying I think this is a
– In week six.
Because to your point.
Four carries for 17 yards. Week seven, one carry for 2 yards. Week eight, five carries for 7 yards. And then week 11, two carries for 5 yards.
Because to your point, the Steelers ride as a workhorse back, and that has been James Conner. So that's why I don't think it looks pretty for Samuels. I'm just thinking that there's a very intriguing option here if James Conner is not in position for his full workload.
I think you're right. And look, if you're starting Matt Lacoste and you want to go with Jalen Samuels instead because you think the Steelers will be up and they'll manage James
Ben
Conner,
Watson, then you just lost Greg Olsen.
Yeah, no kidding. You're speaking my language. Those are two guys I had in a lot of leagues, Ben Watson and Greg Olsen. Like, that's devastating. So, anyway, yeah, I like it. I have Jalen Samuels in that GST league, but he's backing up Connor, so I'm not really going to.
Is he tight end eligible?
No. It's not saying he is, but George Kittle is my tight end.
Yeah, you're fine at tight end.
And Adrian Peterson is my flex, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm looking at your squad.
Silly like that. So, anyway. So playoff.
Maybe
picture.
I don't want to see you this week. I'm looking at your squad. But you still have AJ Green in there.
Yeah. It's not the team that it was.
Interesting. It's not the team. All right. Anyway, keep it going.
Yeah. So all right. So the Steelers are falling apart. They'll probably lose those games to the Patriots and the Saints, and they're going to end up.
The Ravens only half game back of them.
I know.
Lamar Jackson has a revelation.
I don't know what the hell is going on with the Ravens. It's really irritating to me right now.
What's going on with the Ravens is they have a new starting quarterback.
They also have to play the Chiefs and the Chargers. So I think that half game might help the Steelers out because the Steelers and Ravens both could go 2-2 down the stretch here and end up 9-7 and then 9-6-1.
9-6-1 to win the division.
Yeah, so it won't be pretty. But right now I shouldn't have any expectations that the Steelers would beat the Saints or the Patriots. The defense just couldn't get a stop the other night. They couldn't get off the field on third down in the second half at all. So that's why they lost. You can talk about the punt return and all that kind of stuff, but they just could not get a stop. Rivers was awesome, and it didn't matter if it was Eckler or Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson looked great, by the way, when he was out there. So that is what it is. Right now, New England will be, as of this moment, New England would be the 2 seed, right? They have it over Houston.
Yeah.
And then Kansas City.
Yeah, they have a head-to-head on Houston. They played Houston in their first 3 weeks when, you know, Houston couldn't beat anybody, and now they cannot be beaten.
Yeah.
So they're both 9-3, but New England's the 2 seed right now. I'm telling you, that Houston schedule is easy. I can see the Pats slipping up. I'm watch out for Houston.
The Pats are at Miami, at Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Jets. That's at
3-1.
At least 3.
That's 3-1.
You think the Steelers will beat them?
I think they lose in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Wow.
I think right now, listen, and I know you're a Steelers fan and all that. Right now, Blewett, I think the Chargers offense is better than the Patriots offense.
I actually said this the other day on the Sunday show. That's a good point to bring up. I said this the other day to Corey and Gabe and Marshall Faulk was in with us, but the Chargers, to me, even this is before the Sunday night game, I just wondered if they were the most complete AFC team. Everybody's talking about the Chiefs. The interesting thing is that nobody's talking about the Patriots at all. But the Chiefs, 10-2, they can score on anybody. But in a few weeks, when they need a stop, you're going to hold your breath that they need it. They're beating the Raiders 40-33 and other teams. By the way, I know I missed that pick. It's a little. I obviously meant to back off of that pick because they lost their starting running back, and I forgot.
That's what
to
I thought. Yeah,
note, but whatever. I probably would have picked the Packers anyway or something stupid. So
you and George Kurtz went 0-3 this week.
Nice.
I went 2-1 to take over. I get a little working margin on you now. I got three games on you. I hit with the Steelers, Chargers over. I hit with Denver going into Cincy. My loss was what we both thought. Oh no, me and George thought was Indianapolis was my loss this week.
What were my picks? I did the Chiefs minus 15 or whatever. What were the other ones?
No, you did not. You moved off of it. What I have you as is losing with Arizona, Green Bay over.
Okay.
You had that one. You lost on Carolina going into Tampa.
Oh.
And you also lost with the Chicago Bears going into the New York Giants. Mm. Those are your three, unfortunately.
I know those are two upsets, too.
Yep.
And one guy
those
got
home
fired.
Dogs, baby. Home dogs went 5-1 this week, by the way, I think.
Yeah. Wacky week.
Yeah, so I have now a three-game working lead on you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the home dogs, I was going to make a point of it. So I have the stats here. I was going to make a point of it on freestyle. Home dogs, Dallas won outright last week. Jacksonville won outright last week. Tampa won outright. The Giants won outright last week. Oakland did not win but covered the monster spread. The only ways you lost with a home dog were Cincinnati and Detroit last week.
Yeah. So – it was a crazy week. It really was. I mean, I was there on Sunday, and I'm just scratching my head.
Right.
Now, I give the Giants credit. I often say about the Giants, like, they aren't typically the type of team to fold up shop. But I also thought that it was a style-make-fight kind of thing.
Right.
And I didn't think that the Giants would be able to hold up against a Bears pass rush. And it was
You didn't think Odell Beckham would be the quarterback not going into the fetal position like Eli does.
Amazing. Well, everybody's hammering Eli. I don't know if he looks any worse or better than he's ever looked, honestly.
I don't think he looked any worse than last year. Yeah. But, you know, but last year it was also obvious that he was done.
Well, here's what I'd say, though. If you gave Eli, very hypothetical, like a clean pocket, and he was getting the same blocking that the better offensive lines were getting, you think he'd still really look terrible?
You mean like if he was on the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Do you think the Jaguars' offensive line has been great?
I think he wouldn't look terrible, but I think he would still look below average.
Okay. I just think that people are...
It wouldn't be like he wouldn't look inspired or anything like that. He'd look like not the main problem of the team. But
that's the.
I don't think that's
you. Make you're leading to my point.
Go ahead.
I don't think he's the main problem with the team.
Yeah, neither do I.
Right. With the Giants, I don't think he is. I think there's other issues there, and it's exacerbated because Eli is a little older. He doesn't make all the throws that he used to make. And yeah, do they need to turn the page? Yeah, I think it makes sense to turn the page on 37, 38-year-old quarterbacks. Yeah, like he's going to be 38 next year. So I think we can move on. But I don't. There are people out there pinning all the blame on Eli, and I've not thought it to be that. I thought there's other issues with the team, and because he's not as good as he used to be, people just want to blame him. So anyway, which team am I looking at? The Texans. We've talked about this before. Their schedule.
Yep.
How did this Colts get shut out? So ridiculous.
I don't know.
Anyway,
this was the Colts. I had Andrew Luck, Eric Ebron stack in DFS. Also, was riding with them, and you know. Defecated the mattress.
So the Texans, we talked about their schedule before. They're Indy, at the Jets, at the Eagles, Jaguars. They'll be favored in
I think that's at least 2-2, likely 3-1 for me. So to me, I think that's 3-1.
So they lose in Philly. That's what you're saying.
Maybe. Right. Or I think they lose Philly or this Indianapolis Colts game. I think they lose one of those. And so I have the Texans as 12-4, and that's right there. That's going to be either the 2 or the 3 seed in the AFC.
Right. And then New England, who they lost to in week 1 by a touchdown, their next 4 are at Miami, at Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and New York.
I think the Pittsburgh one is tough, and they always – that at Miami is always tough.
Yeah.
Or is it in New England?
That is at Miami.
So you know this better than anybody. They lay eggs down there in Miami
sometimes.
It's like
the one place where they don't play well.
Right, and the Pittsburgh thing, I think Pittsburgh's going to be ready. I think Jesse James catches a late touchdown, that sort of thing. So I can see, you know, gun to my head, the Patriots also go 3-1. But, you know, it's going to be a battle. Like, both of those teams will have stuff to play for in Week 17, in my opinion.
So the weird thing is, and this brings me to – my greater point about what people, I felt like people have been talking about these last few weeks. People have been kind of awarding teams the rest of their games.
Right.
Like saying, ah, the Saints are just going to win.
Saints
the rest
will win
of their
out.
Game.
Right.
Or the Rams will, or the Chiefs will, or the Steelers. Like, they're better than the rest of the teams the rest of the year. Like, I knew the Steelers might lose a couple of games. I didn't think they'd lose in Denver necessarily, but they don't play well there.
Right.
And I just feel like there's people stacking up wins for these teams. Here's the Chiefs' last four. They have to play the Ravens this week. It's at home, but they got to play the Ravens. Then they got to play the Chargers. That's at home. We just talked about the Chargers maybe being the best team in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Then they have to go to Seattle, and then they're home against Oakland to finish it out. But those next three,
that's handing them three wins.
Yeah.
That's 3-1 to me.
You think they lose in Seattle?
Or they
lose to the Chargers?
I think they lose one of those two.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I get your point. I'm not gifting people anyone. I look at these as four-game segments, right?
Yeah.
And – you know, you don't think these teams are going to go undefeated. Maybe the Rams are going to go 15-1. Fine. But, like, you know, you got to think about this in the 2-2, 3-1 kind of vein. There's going to be stuff to play for. And, honestly, Blewett, if the Chargers beat the Chiefs, then they're in a flat-footed tie in the AFC West. Don't forget about that.
And here's the Rams at Chicago, Philly.
Tough.
At Arizona, tough. San Francisco. So
that's at least 2-2, probably 3-1.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised they lose in Chicago, or if a Philly team that needs it, you know, can come up for a win.
Exactly right. I mean, that would be impressive if Philly went to L.A. and got the win. But nonetheless.
They did last year.
I felt like people were going, were really trying their best to, like, get teams to 15-1 and 14-2 all over the league. It just typically doesn't happen. You know, we have a bunch of 13-3 teams that are really good. So, all right, we'll talk a little bit more about waivers. I'm trying not to wallow in what happened to me in week 13 in my fantasy leagues, but it's not
turn the page, Blewett.
I just lost.
We got a team that's got a bye that we're going to be, we got to manage too for the playoffs, all right?
I lost a couple of buys this week. Lost out on some money. Like
you and me still have one. Let's go.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Rocking out on a Tuesday morning. Chris Bavona producing. I'm here with Dane. Dane's on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds. I'm on Twitter at Mike Blewett at FNTSY Radio if you want to hit us up with any questions. I know a lot of you out there were hammering away at us about one of our listeners, very funny. He came at us and like, this guy's kicker got 21 points. What am I supposed to do here? And I just said, that guy's probably a listener. So we're trying to help everybody. Can't just pick and choose who we're trying to help. But we got a call coming up here in a minute. But before we get to our guy, Kenny, I just want to tell you, you may or may not have reached your fantasy football playoffs. But either way, with BetDSI, you can capitalize on the all of the on-field action with a user-friendly mobile website, web interface, and the fastest payouts in the industry. From the upcoming college football bowl games to the next big soccer match, they have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Get an edge and utilize live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually any time during a contest. Capitalizing on in-game circumstances, use your daily fantasy skills without the constraints of salary caps and wager on player props. There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. And then, once you've opened up your account, go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your BetDSI username. And we'll give you 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to
Free.
Totally free, Dane. That's access to all sports tools and optimizers. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI today to win on so many levels. That's promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free to DailyRoto.com. I want to do it one more time to make sure people understand. Go to BetDSI. Open up the account. Use the promo code FNTSY101. Then you get a 100% bonus deposit match. Once you open that account, go to DailyRoto.com. Click contact us. Send us your BetDSI username. And then you're going to get 1 month of DailyRoto access. So it's all sports, all optimizers, all projections. We have betting tools in there. So you get a free month of access to all sports betting tool information. And then you can use that to win on BetDSI. It's a great deal. So FNTSY 101. I talk about Daily Roto all the time and how great it is. I won a little bit of cash last night on DraftKings because of that. And I just wish I had played Golden Tate instead of Jordan Reed. I would have won pretty big money.
Well, you know, there's always...
Like you said, Dane, can't get broke making a profit.
That's
can't
right. I'll take it.
Can't complain about my 15 bucks when I'm only putting down a couple of shekels. You know, if I
that's
walk,
right.
Do you go into a store, buy something, and come out with more money? No.
That's
no.
right.
You just
I'll
spend that
it.
Money, and you have a... Cherry Coke Zero. I don't know. Whatever it is you like to buy at the bodega.
Apparently, you're a Cherry Coke Zero kind
Sugar-free
of guy.
Sugar-free Red
sure.
Bull. That's my drink of choice when I can't keep sure. my eyes open. So so there you go.
I hear you.
Now, let me wallow in the misery for a moment. In the GST League that I'm in with you, I stated
yes.
earlier, I had the scoring title for 12 weeks. I lost it in week 13 to Scott Engel, the co-host of Roto Experts in the Morning. I lost
yes,
by
sir.
9 points. He outscored me by 20 this week. So I did have a slight lead. You know, if I'm going to pin it on one guy, I got to pin it on A.J. Green. But I don't like to pin things on guys that got hurt. He gutted it out. I'm annoyed about it, but I'm not blaming A.J. Green. He's trying to get out there and play. Now, the upside is that there wasn't anybody that I could have played on my bench that would have.
That's what I was just looking. On your bench, is there anybody? And
no.
So what I'm looking at is no. Terrell Williams only got 2.4. Yeah. Cordarrelle Patterson, 7.9.
If I
that,
change
you know,
my defense
a 6 point,
from the
a
Saints
point.
To the from the Titans to the Saints, which didn't make sense going into the week.
Right.
It would have been more excruciating. No, it just would have been more excruciating.
No, I'm saying if you did Cordarrelle Patterson and the Saints defense changed, then you would have got it done.
All right. I wasn't doing that. AJ yeah. Green. It's AJ
I
Green.
I agree with you.
So
I agree with you.
I can't do that. So anyway, but I did get a win last night and I get a 3-6. So that's very frustrating. But there wasn't really anything I could do to prevent these injuries from coming. I know Scott has like sort of needled me and being like, well, you gotta stay prepared. It's like, all right, I had backups for everybody. I'm not without wide receivers. It's just I wasn't gonna have 7 good wide receivers. I had 4 right. and 3 of them got hurt. So it is what it is. The other frustrating league, so, Dan, as you know, I do the Sunday morning shows. Very
yes.
oftentimes, it is difficult for me to do lineup changes. I make a ton
While
of,
you're on air? Yeah, it's not easy.
I make a ton of notes on Saturday night, and typically there's one segment during the Sunday show where I let Gabe Morency take over and do his best.
So you can manage your team.
Right. I did not get that opportunity this week. We had a little bit of a snafu. Scott Engel, actually, maybe it's a little subterfuge by Scott Engel. Scott Engel called in from Seattle. We missed a break. It was a disaster. I was getting yelled at on G-Chat by
yep.
none other than our Mike Cardano being like,
fantastic.
So whatever. So we went like 40 minutes without a break from 12 to 12:40. That's usually when I do it.
That's where you
And in my
teams.
One league, I left Sony Michel in over Tariq Cohen.
Yeah. I was asking you about Sony Michel also in
but
a league
I,
that we called. But
I looked
but yeah,
at
Tariq Cohen.
But I looked
got
at
30
our league.
Some odd points.
But I looked at our league. I liked Sony over McCoy.
What was it? Okay.
So I made that decision. But in the one, I didn't get to it. I according to the numbers, Daily Roto, I was going to put Tariq Cohen in for Sony Michel. I didn't
yeah.
get to it. It cost me 20 points, which cost me first place
Damn.
And a bye
Damn.
And my money back.
Damn.
And, like,
yeah.
no, not my money back. Like, the entry
first
fee is probably
winnings.
Like $150.
Yeah,
I probably would
winnings.
Have gotten, like, $450.
Yeah.
So that one move cost me first place. So I fell
you know
into
what
third,
you need to do?
And guess who
you
I played?
You need to tell Owen that that's where his birthday present went.
Oh, Owen got 23 birthday presents, and my house is filled with stuff. I'm cleaning it up because...
And you did not injure yourself in the bouncy castle?
He got 3... He went from 0 Nerf guns to 4... in a weekend. He never had a Nerf gun. He's got four now, and we are on eggshells that he doesn't shoot his sister in the face.
Oh, he's going.
It's a big problem. I know.
He's going to.
They've already shot each other, but they keep saying, it was an accident. It was an accident. I'm like, all right, can we just, you know, safety goggles or whatever? And one of the guns is, like, kind of powerful. So so somebody's going to get hurt. But and I think I play your boy James.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, that's it. I play him.
I, as you mentioned, you were at Bounty Castle. Remember, I was at a poker tournament that I played on Saturday. I was the chip leader for most of the tournament. I'll say that. I ultimately finished in second place, which, you know, was a little bit of cash. And the aforementioned James finished in third.
So here's the sixth seed that I'm playing. This is not, I mean, I'm going to lose.
This is James's team?
Yeah. Drew Brees at Tampa.
Nice.
He's also got Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, he does.
He's got Odell Beckham at Washington.
That works.
He's got Keenan Allen playing Cincinnati.
He's out of his mind.
He's got George Kittle.
That works.
He's got Gus Edwards at Kansas City.
Yep.
Deion Lewis is his other back. Dolphins D, whatever. Sure. So he's got a good team. He sort of floundered a little bit record-wise. Right.
But kind of on any given Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, he, in fact, points scored on the season, he and I are separated by 6 points. I edged him out. My team.
Right, it's like half a point a week.
My team is Roethlisberger or Matty Ice. I got to make that decision. I actually probably stick with Roethlisberger at Oakland.
Yeah.
I got Chris McCaffrey, Phil Lindsay, Juju, Corey Davis, Zach Ertz, Sony Michel. Dalvin Cook and Larry Fitzgerald on the bench, and Tariq Cohen on the bench. This team of mine is deeper than it is good on top end talent.
Right.
You look at the starting lineup, you'd be like, James.
Built for the regular season.
Yes. And this is why I really should have come in first place.
Yep.
But the any given Sunday thing, to your point, like, if you looked at our starting lineups on paper, he might edge me. But do I play Tariq Cohen against the Rams? Do I play Larry Fitz against the Lions?
Yes. I think you play Tariq Cohen against the Rams. They're going to have to throw. I would, to be quite honest. And then what I think is your best hope is that, you know, you think you got to hope Josh Norman starts patrolling the pregame sidelines with a baseball bat and him and Odell get into it pregame.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
So you would say of the four running backs, Chris McCaffrey, Phil Lindsay, Tariq Cohen, Sony Michel, Dalvin Cook, actually. That's my five running backs. That's great.
I'm flexing Cohen, I'm sitting Sony Michel and Dalvin Cook, and I'm flexing Tariq Cohen.
That's what I have right now. But see, like, look, that's a really good running back core. I missed a whole bunch of guys.
At the trading deadline, you should have flipped, Dalvin Cook and Tariq Cohen.
That's the problem, though. It's a great point.
For not Kareem Hunt.
It's a great point, but that's why managing a whole number of teams gets difficult.
Because you have to be able to give that kind of attention to eight different teams. Listen, I'm with you, bro.
Looking for trades is the thing that I don't do anymore. It's a bummer, but
I
just can't do it.
It's tough to do across all your teams.
I got enough with the waiver wires. I can't do
it. I hear you.
I can't look at other people's rosters and look for trades.
I'm in the same boat.
So, anyway, I thought that would be a fun note to kind of close out on because I'm playing your boy James, and I'm worried about it. I could have gone – like the Tariq Cohen, Sony Michel thing – is going to affect me greatly. I expect to get bounced from the playoffs, and I should have been in first place.
You could have been in first place already with some cash.
Yeah, and just a bye week. The byes are so important because, like you're saying, anything can happen. You just want to avoid anything can happen. I just want to sit on the sidelines for a week and let it all play out. So, seven leagues.
Which is why, honestly, I hope Connor does rest this week.
Seven leagues.
Because then when I need him week 15,
go ahead.
He's on his way back. He can't get hurt if he's not playing this
Interesting
week.
Interesting point. So, seven leagues that I'm in. I made the playoffs in five. I'll take it.
Yeah, I went 4 out of 6, I believe. Obviously, I got a bye with you. You see me in the playoffs in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. I finished off a 12-1 regular season in my main home Dynasty League, though, so I'm excited.
My Dynasty League, I actually missed it by a game. I went 7-5. If I had gone 8-4, I might have made it. So I missed that league where I've had success in the past. I think it might be time to start wheeling and dealing there.
Mm.
And the other league, I missed it. It's a 12-team league, but only 4 teams make the playoffs. I came in 5th.
Talk about any given Sunday here, Blewett. In my, like I said, my main long-term dynasty league, I finished the season at 12-1. There was a team that went 1-12. the same guy who beat the one and who lost to the 1-12 team is the same team who beat me, the 12-1 team.
Let's take Kenny from Philly on. He's going to close out the show. We got space. Kenny, what do you got? We got 30 seconds. Kenny from Philly.
We tried to get Kenny.
Sorry. He's not there.
We'll get him tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get him tomorrow. Kenny, call in tomorrow. We had a couple of things we had to get through, but hope to have you on again tomorrow. So, anyway, Dane. So that's it.
That's it.
Regular season comes to a close. I feel like I had a really good start to the regular season. I knew it could fall apart. It hasn't completely, but it is what it is. It's like the Steelers. They got on a good run, and now they may be slipping out of playoffs with Lamar Jackson.
On any given Sunday.
All right, I'll be back on Thursday. Dane and I will get you hooked up for waivers, and he'll be on Fantasy Freestyle tonight. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.